Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Well, close-up and personal songs from L.A.'s musical sweetheart and Cajun swamp party music with a symphony orchestra. We've got it all here today. We talked to Karen Dizell and Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars. It's Music Friday Live, and we want you to stay tuned.
She lives in Amarillo, and there's a room to lie. But none is fair, so Auntie drew herself to the floor and got lost in the night. I don't believe her when she says she don't mind.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by MySanFelipeVacation.com, which is your source for fabulous vacations at Mexico's Sea of Cortez. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. So you can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email your questions and your comments to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And all of you who've already emailed in questions for Karen, we will read them on the air. Boy, you've got some great fans out there. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates, and those of you who are listening to us on Stitcher and iTunes, and in London tonight, too, when we get rebroadcast on the Artist Echoes network. So if you're listening live and have questions or comments for our guests, call us, 347-215-7511. If you're listening to a podcast or rebroadcast on one of our East Coast stations or in London, email your questions to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. We will forward your questions to our guests and they can reply directly to you. Well, I just like listening to Karen Dizell. Everything she does, every song she writes and records is a little jewel. Karen knows how to go through my ears to stimulate the pleasure centers of my brain and the feeling centers of my heart. Some songs are happy, some songs are sad, and all are simultaneously personal and universal. Well, she was our guest here in 2014 for the release of her album Lost and Found, and now she has just released a new EP, Room for Two, which really pushes boundaries that are extremely personal and heartfelt, even for her. Well, the result is superb music, and we are so happy to have her back after 2 years to catch up with her and sample the new EP. Karen, welcome back to Music Friday Live. It's been a long time since we've talked to you, and I see you've been busy.
Yes. Hi. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for having me on. It's been an interesting couple of years.
That sounds like an even longer interview than we're going to have, right? Well, yeah. let's talk about the album, right? This album really takes advantage of your ability to combine sweetness and urgency in your voice. Now, was there an incident or an observation that led to this EP with these songs?
The title of the EP, Room for Two, was kind of an artistic concept that I wanted to explore, and the songs kind of came from that concept. And what it is in a conversation I had with a friend not so long ago, I was talking about a situation from my perspective, and they said to me, can there be room for two in this situation? Meaning, like, can you see another side here? And I thought applying that to music could be kind of interesting, because I think any good song leaves room for audience interpretation, and the idea of like putting the structure of a story together, but then letting the audience decide what it means to them and creating room for two in the song struck me. So I thought it'd be fun to write songs kind of with that idea in mind.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Are these all newly written songs, or have some of them been sort of floating around your head for a while?
The one that is the oldest is Home, and that one I had for a long time, but I was a little bit hesitant to put it out just because it's deeply personal for me, but it seemed to fit this album, so I went for it.
right. Well, it turns out Home is my favorite song on the album. But I want to play another one. I want to play Alchemy, which is, I spent yesterday listening to this song over and over. So this is Alchemy.
You have got some funny lines. Words that I don't want to forget. I have got so much to give. Songs you haven't heard.
That song is truly alchemy, and I love the percussion there throughout, particularly at the beginning and throughout the song. Is that a drum pad or a loop? I mean, how did you create that heartbeat sound there?
It's actually electronic, which is kind of different for me. It's not normally everything on my songs is live instruments. On the past couple albums and on all the other songs on this album, but we just decided to add an electronic element to this one song and see how it went. And I really like it. Like, it's not really the direction I want to go, but I like having one song with that element.
Didn't you do something similar to that in the song Fearlessly?
Fearlessly has like a similar percussion sound, like a similar kind of reverberation with the beat, but that isn't electronically.
Okay,
like,
right. I was just
an effect of an instrument in a setting. Yeah, no, that's true. There's something similar there.
All right. Well, your live performances, and I've seen you live, your live performances encourage people to listen really close, which is something you don't always see in audiences these days. Have you developed tricks to get people to quiet down and get off their cell phones and pay attention, or do you just not worry about it?
It's funny. You know what? I don't think I ever intentionally was like, I'm going to do this so that people are more engaged, but there are things that I have done that I've noticed help with that. One of them is I've asked the audience, like, I've kind of told them with the song Heartbeats, I'm like, I'm not really sure what this song means yet. Like, I wrote it and, you know, I know it means something, but I'm not really sure what it's supposed to mean. So if you can tell me what you think it means after the show, and then people tend to listen a little bit more and give you feedback on what it means to them, which I like. And then in another song, Colorado, I tend to ask people to sing along for the chorus. Like, I'll teach them the chorus before I start and then ask them to sing with me. And that usually gets them, you know, engaged too.
Well, it works. I was at one of those performances where you had the audience singing along with you. So it definitely works. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my favorite song on the album is Home. And, which contrasts kind of nicely with the percussion scaffolding of Alchemy, so, because it accents your voice with guitar notes. So let's listen to a little bit of Home here.
Show me all the things my faulty eyes can't see. You see, I hear you sing to me through the sunshine and the trees. You kiss me with your breeze.
Dreams. being visited in dreams, a life unfolding in dreams. Does that song describe a recurring dream?
That's an interesting, I like the way you put that. For me, that song is about reconnecting to whatever, you know, whatever higher being or source of calm or connection a person has. So it's, I think, like, if the other songs on the album are about restlessness, you know, often from situations you create in your mind or human relationships or whatever, this song is kind of all about the place that everybody has inside them that's completely peaceful and that just grounds you. And so that song's kind of like an ode to a higher being.
Well, there's a line in it that I went back and listened to a couple of times, several times, actually. So however life unfolds, I'll find the meaning and feel the rhythm when I feel most alone. Does that refer to all of your songwriting, that an activity best done alone, or is it special for this album, which is called Room for Two?
Well, see, and I love said that line to me. This is what's so interesting, and what I love the most about songwriting is how some people hear it is so different than how, like, I think of it at first, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that meaning is also there, and it can't be an accident. But when I wrote that song, the line "when I feel most alone" was supposed to be like a preposition for the next line. So when I feel most alone, you guide me home, and you let me think I found it on my own. But the idea of like feeling the rhythm more when you're alone, I'd never really thought about that I put those two lines together too. But yeah, I mean, I think there could definitely be something there that sometimes, you know, in solitude is when you're most likely to reconnect and find meaning on everything going on. That makes sense.
All right. We are talking with Karen Dazell about her new EP, Room for Two, and you can talk with her too. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com, which is what is going on right now. We do have email. I'll get to them in a minute. Well, actually, why don't I just go right to the emails, because one of your fans, a woman who describes herself as a super fan, this is Donna in Texas, has a whole long list. I don't know Donna in Texas.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, she's got a long list of questions, and we're not going to do them all, Donna, sorry about that, but we are going to ask some of them. And one of them is, how does your humanity and spirituality feed your art?
Wow, what a great question. Well, I mean, I think most of the songs are drawn on my own, like, firsthand experience, right? So, like, my humanity, right? Like, the interactions I have with people or the emotions I have, which I think most people share, you know? It's, but I think the spirituality comes into play when you're like, how do I take these very, like, human responses or human situations and find what's universal about them, and like a way to use them as a vehicle to connect with every other person out there and give them like a song or lyrics or something that might resonate and make them feel less alone. And so I think that's where the humanity, you know, you get to the heart of what's very human about this, and then automatically it kind of transcends your situation and becomes more spiritual because it connects us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. She also wonders if you've heard any stories about that happening, about your music impacting or helping someone.
Yeah, actually, one thing came to mind when you said that. I remember maybe 3 years ago, one of the first times I ever heard from my music. They wrote and talked, they said something about the song Love You Anyway, and just all they said, it was very simple, but it meant a lot to me. They said, I really like that song because I went through the same thing, but I didn't really have the words to explain it. So thanks for writing it. And I felt like walking down the street that day, reading that, like my whole chest just felt like full of yellow light. Like I was so happy. Like it was such a strange happiness where I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Like that's that's what the whole thing's about. So it was the most rewarding feeling I think that I ever had from this whole thing, this whole pursuit. So that one always stood out to me because it was kind of the first time that happened.
Wow. Wow, what a great way to spend the day. Let's see, Santiago in WeHo, for those of you who aren't in Los Angeles, that's West Hollywood, wants to know, will you be touring or playing in LA to support the record?
Yes, I will be. And that I'm going to put some dates up on my website as they become confirmed, but I'm talking to some people actually in Hollywood and as well as someone in New York, in Austin. So I'm looking at those three cities, still to come. I've been touring a little bit this summer, already, but I think those cities will all have shows in there soon. And you can just check my website, or social channels. And I always announce them as they're coming up.
Okay. Well, speaking of Austin, we have an email from Austin. This is from Sophia in Austin, and she wants to know, do you produce your own recordings, and is it lonely being on the stage by yourself with no band?
No. My producer is John Adair, and he is extremely talented. He also plays a lot of the instruments on the EP. So that's all his brilliant work. Being on the stage alone, I think, can have pros and cons to that. Like, it can, you know, it definitely creates a lot more intimacy. One good thing about it is if I mess up, it's really easy for me to cover it up. But if other people are depending on me playing something correctly, then it can kind of fall apart a lot easier. So that's one thing I like about being alone. You know, always when someone else brings their energy to the stage, it's nice. And for bigger shows, I'll usually have people join me, but I kind of like the intimacy of playing solo sometimes. So
okay.
they're both good in different ways.
We have one more email from Jay Diesel. No relation, I'm sure.
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
And Jay wants to know, what was the inspiration for Alchemy?
Oh, so Alchemy was a song I wrote as a gift for somebody that I was dating. And it's all about how when you love somebody, all these ordinary things begin to seem extraordinary, and it just brings a sort of alchemy into your life. And I just thought it was it's just such a phenomenal experience. So I was paying tribute to that as well as to the person who inspired that when I wrote that song.
Okay, well, it's definitely, like I said, an alchemy song. Here's another one, too. This is the title song from the EP. This is Room for Two. Play a little of this.
We're coming into it now. I always knew this somehow. These were the dreams I couldn't live without. With each new step I'm found, there's no turning back now. But all this talk of money brings me down. So play one more song, one we could get by on. Sweet and true, written for someone like you. Make it last long, baby, I will. Fall in the name of some kind of beautiful grace, in the name of chances and something to
There are so many great lines in that song that are cinematic. I mean, you create images in that song. I can just see it in my mind. Did you see the images? I mean, is that about images or about memories in your life?
Yeah, that's one of the ones I sometimes will think about the meaning, and I don't know if It's funny, my friend Sarah Noel, who's a great musician, she has this term where she says some songs, they just kind of come to you like unique gifts, and she calls them unique gift songs. And you don't always understand like where they come from or the inspiration, but then you think about it after and kind of figure it out. Like it's almost like a subconscious kind of thing. I love the way she puts that. But I think that song is kind of about like how dreams can be kind of bittersweet. Like the first verse, I think, is a lot about the pursuit of music for me and how that can be a bittersweet journey. And then the second one, I think, is about, you know, relationships or getting close to somebody and how that can be bittersweet. So that's the meaning that I have kind of derived from it.
There's a lot of lines in that. You know, I often say that poetry is not dead. It's all around us. We just call it lyrics now. And that's really true for
that.
You.
Thank you.
The line that kind of sticks out for me there is, there's no turning back now. All this talk of money brings me down. I can't tell you how many art times artists have told me that. And that's what I meant when I said you combine the personal and the universal so well. Have you ever thought about publishing your lyrics as poetry? I mean, I know you post some on your Facebook page, and there's such wonderful poetry.
Thank you. I enjoy that part immensely, like the writing of the lyrics. There is actually a publication coming out, again, by my aforementioned friend, Sarah Noel, where she has gathered lyrics from a lot of singer-songwriters, some very established and some more emerging. And she publishes one of their songs as poetry. So I'll be in that publication, which is coming out later this year. I have thought about it, like about, you know, I like writing, I like words, and I like, you know, I'd like to write prose and poetry. I mean, I love all that. So I've thought about it before, but music has always, it's kind of like what you said, that's where poetry lives these days. So it's kind of the best vehicle to get your lyrics heard, to get your poetry heard through music. And you know, I think music adds a lot to the mood of it. So I enjoy writing music, but I think I've thought about it, and it might be something I do at some point. But thank you for that. It's nice to hear.
Well, it has, as Henry Kissinger used to say, it has the added advantage of being true. Right. When you sit down and write, like I just said, that particular song and lines like that create images that you can be very cinematic. That one particularly makes me kind of remember overcast, rainy days in San Francisco, and sitting and looking out a window into that. Do you see images when you write?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do see images. It's so funny, like, because sometimes I don't even really think about these things, but now that you mention it, it's like, I definitely do. Yeah. When I listen to it, I see images too. You know, I think that song particularly in my mind, like the way that I imagine it, is almost like a story, you know, but it just like all these kind of different scenes strung together that don't necessarily follow each other, but they kind of seem to make sense following each other. And that was, you know, again, sort of the goal with the Room for Two thing, was just to create enough images or scenes so that people can decide what the story really means. But yeah, for that one, I definitely see images too. I like your San Francisco image.
It's just there. That's what the song creates. Do you get involved in translating those images into your videos?
So the videos I've done so far, one of them, Love You Anyway, was done by my friends Marianella and Richard Borgo, and that was completely their concept. Everything about it, I just showed up and did what they told me to do, and it turned out really well. So I can't take any credit for that. Susie's song I did with, actually my cousin helped me create that. Her name's Gracie Tarver. She's really great at videos. But I had a little bit more to do with that one, like the concept of it. And the concept for that one was, I asked my friends and family to send me a video or photo of something they saw that was beautiful in the past, you know, couple weeks, or to look for something beautiful and send it to me. And then I used all of that to create the video, which is all sort of about, you know, enjoying life. So it worked out really well. And it was fun to get, you know, I mean, you can imagine 2 o'clock on some idle Tuesday, you get this video from a friend you haven't heard from in a while, and it's, you know, something special to them. It's a nice, it was a nice process.
Well, we have, I think, just about enough time for one more song, and it's another one of my favorite songs from the EP. This is I'd Go Anywhere.
You called today just to say you moved far away, and remember San Francisco. You say I'd go anywhere, I'd go anywhere, I'd go anywhere to be with you, 'cause it was never quite so good.
No, the frame that you put that in, like I said, reminds me of the time in San Francisco. It creates a mental movie, that one too. And although it's only one line, it conjures up in the listener your memories, or our versions of your memories. Did you know that when you wrote it, that you were going to be conjuring up memories in other people?
That one was a very unique song, like the writing process for that one, because it was definitely one of those unique gift songs. I literally had been sitting in traffic all day. I'd gotten a phone call that day that kind of threw me off from someone I hadn't talked to in a while. And when I got back, you know, I didn't really feel much anything, but when I got back to my house, I just picked up the guitar, and that song came out almost exactly how it is right now. And it was just done upon inception. Wow. So I didn't put a lot of thought into the audience when I wrote that one, but I'm glad that it has that effect. I mean, that definitely is the goal, you know, is to conjure up memories in people and stuff. But yeah, that one was that one was a funny one.
Well, Karen, unfortunately, we must be having too much fun, because the clock is saying that we're out of time. Right. So, real quick. Tell people where they can best get your music. I know you're out on iTunes. Where else would you like them to go?
Yeah, iTunes is the best place to buy the album. You can also listen to me on Pandora. I've got a station there, Spotify, SoundCloud. Yeah, you can get in touch on Twitter, Facebook. It's all just my name.
Okay.
But thank you, Patrick, for having me. I'm a big fan of the show, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us. It was a joy, to say the least. This is Karen DeGiselle. Follow her on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You should especially check out her beautiful new website, www.karendeGiselle.com. And be sure and download, buy, listen, stream the new album somehow. Put it in your collection and in your earphones, because it's going to make your day feel wonderful. Well, we're going to take a break right now and hear from our wonderful sponsor, but don't go away. We will be right back.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
Boy, I wish I had a voice like that. All right. Well, I would like to see you in San Felipe because I'm going to be going down there. But when you call in or when you log on to the website, remember to use the discount code MFL5. That's MFL5, and that will get you a 5% discount on your weekend, your week getaway, whatever. So that's MFL5 when you log on to mysanfelipevacation.com. I had the onerous duty yesterday of spending a good part of the morning listening to the music of the Hub City All-Stars from Lafayette, Louisiana. And it's taken me most of this morning to remove the smile from my face so I can talk without either humming or dancing. All the music of Louisiana is infectious, and any Dr. John fan knows that. But the Hub City All-Stars are doubly infectious. In fact, they're addictive. They're nonstop. They have so earned their Grammy nomination and the title of Notorious Louisiana Roots Rockers. Joining us today are Roddy Romero and Eddie Adcock of the Hub City All-Stars, and we are really honored to have them. Roddy and Eddie, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hello, hello.
Thank you so much.
Now, since there's two of you, we need to have you distinguish yourselves so our audience can tell. So, Roddy, why don't you say hello?
Hello, everybody. I'm calling from Grand Coteau, Louisiana.
Okay.
And this is Eric Adcock. This is Eric, and I'm calling from Big Abbeville, Louisiana.
Okay. All right. I think we can tell your voices apart now. So, I have an immediate question for you, right? Because I've been listening to this album, and like I've often said, it's a good thing I have a long extension cord on my earphones because I can dance that way. And the new album, incidentally, is Gulfstream, and it was produced by the legendary British producer John Porter. I'm curious, how did the Notorious Louisiana Roots Rockers end up with one of the top British producers?
that's a great question. Yeah. I think in simple terms for me, we were introduced by actually Eric's brother, Charles Adcock, down in New Orleans. John Porter was living in New Orleans for quite a few years, he and his wife, making records down there. And I think one night at the old Chicky Wawa place, he turned up and danced the night away and had some good drinks with the band. And we formed a friendship immediately. I know that Eric has some thoughts about that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not too often that you get, you know, a guy who's produced great B.B. King records, Taj Mahal records, Santana, you know, hanging around town. And he has always loved roots music. If you look at his pedigree, of course, there's the Smiths and Roxy music. But throughout his career, he's just really dug good soul, blues, and cultural roots music, and it was a great fit, and he was willing to take on the project only if he could take it from start to finish. That was his caveat. He wanted from the first downbeat all the way to engineering mixes, and we're really, really proud of the record and glad he was on board.
Well, he did a great job, and I would like to give our listeners a little sample of what a great job he did on this record. Is rock and roll soul radio.
The hammer's in my fingers since I don't know when. I turn it on just to turn it off again. Seem like the waves have just run cold. What happened to rock and roll soul radio?
that'll certainly wake you up. Tell me, gentlemen, is that kind of a boogie beat back there?
Well, no doubt. I mean, we come from South Louisiana, where people still like to hold each other close and dance real tight. And, you know, ever since the 1950s, when American music was kind of born in South Louisiana, to today, people like to dance and like to have a fat backbeat. And I would definitely consider that a boogie beat. This is Eric, and I wrote that song. And I come from a history of boogie-woogie and New Orleans-style syncopated piano. And I think that song kind of covers all those bases, so to speak.
Well, I love it. I think I'm going to get some email from people in Cleveland about where rock and roll started, but we'll see. Okay. There are some.
I'd like to argue that point.
There are some lines in there that really hit me. Believe it or not, I do listen to the lyrics even on a song like that. But now the records don't pop and the tubes don't glow. What's happened to rock and roll and soul radio? Well, is that your take on the state of music today?
Yeah, in one of my more disgruntled afternoons, flipping through channels on every possible station. And, you know, back in the day, you knew who your disc jockey was. Of course, you're in that business now in an internet way and what you do. But, you know, it just things didn't feel the same as they might have a while back. And I thought, you know, what's happened? I know the music still exists out there that's being created. That's great. But sometimes commercial radio can have its effects on the listening audience. But I miss the old days. I'm an old soul, so to speak.
Okay. Well, sometimes I miss the old days too, but that's a different interview. Roddy, you play the slide guitar, the accordion, and the guitar, and those are the ones I know of. Maybe you play some other things too. When did you get introduced to the accordion? I understand there's kind of a story there.
Well, it started when I was very young. Music has always been around our family. Since I can remember, Sunday afternoons, some musicians in the family would have some jams after lunchtime. So I was introduced, I guess, when I was maybe 5 years old to the instrument. My grandfather played a handful of songs around the house, his old Horner button box. And he would let me have it after he would play his handful of songs. And I'd go in the back room and just make noises with it. My dad bought a box for my brother and I when I was 9 years old, and I swiped it from him and locked myself in the room for the next 2 years with good vinyl records, Cajun and the Creole music from down here. So that's how long I've been playing that instrument. I'm 40 years old now, so it's been quite a ride around the world playing accordion.
I'll say, and of course, the accordion's coming back too. It's kind of the go-to instrument in rock and roll bands. I've even seen one in a heavy metal band. It's making its reappearance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here in South Louisiana, it's still very much neighborhood music, and you can go on any given night in towns like Lafayette and hear French music or accordion music all night long. So it's a beautiful place.
And it's a historical instrument too. It was invented, I think, in 1822. So it goes back a ways. You mentioned that music was, Louisiana music is all around you. I had the pleasure of spending a couple of weeks in New Orleans with a Creole woman who had family in various parts of the bayous. And we would go out there into the bayous and for family gatherings.
You made it out alive, right?
I made I'm not sure my tongue did. you make some hot food in Louisiana, but
absolutely.
It was all good.
Absolutely.
But every one of those family gatherings was a music fest. And there was generally more than one accordion. It was a lot of fun. I'll never forget those experiences. Well,
that's great.
Speaking of those experiences, I've got a song here that really highlights how you make the accordion a powerful lead instrument. This is One Trick Pony, and it's on the new album. And I want to just start it right off here so people can hear it.
Yo, one trick pony, good for chomping.
Boy, that really hits home, and that definitely is a stand up and dance with my earphones on piece of music. Eddie, the piano back there, I think I hear a little bit of the ghost of Jerry Lewis on that piano. Did you write that song, or do you just get back there and do it because it feels good?
Well, that's how we write every song, actually. I don't think the two are very separated. It's a standard blues pretty much, but I'm definitely inspired by all the great Louisiana piano players, Jerry Lee Lewis included, from Faraday, Louisiana. And of course, there's the great Dr. John and Fats Domino and Professor Longhair and Alan Toussaint. So we have a host of wonderful piano players. And Clifton Chenier, the great Zydeco artist, actually played piano accordion. So all those good honky-tonk Louisiana piano players have fed into my inspiration for sure.
How did you two guys get together? And how long have has the band been together?
Well, Roddy and I have been playing together for about 25 years. And, you know, we come from a fairly small town, Lafayette, Louisiana, which is kind of the hub city, hence the name. And when we were kids, Roddy was already touring, playing Montreal Jazz Festival all over North America, Canada. And I was, you know, playing boogie woogie and rhythm and blues Louisiana piano in the nightclubs as a young teenager as well. And it just made sense because here are two young kids that live pretty close to each other that were both pretty much playing professionally, Roddy on a much bigger level. And he asked me to come get on the train, and I got on, and I haven't gotten off yet. It's been a great run all around the world. Wow.
Did I hear another comment back there?
Oh, just giggles, absolutely. Right. Since we met as teenagers, most of the time we still act like teenagers, which is a good right. thing and a bad thing, of course, always.
Well,
so,
all right, I'm not going to get into
that.
It
wasn't fun. We wouldn't be doing.
I'm going to remind our audience that we are talking with Roddy Romero and Eddie Hancock of the band The Hub City All-Stars. We're talking about their new album and about being teenagers. And you can talk to them, too. You can call in if you're not at work, 347-215-7511. Or you can email your questions to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And okay, I'm going to read the emails that have come in because we've had a lot of people emailing already. Shamina in Tucson wants you to repeat the names of the towns that you're now located in, and she wants to know if you're actually out in the bayous with the alligators.
Well, not today. I'm calling in from Grand Coteau, or Grand Coteau, the English say around here. It means big hill in French. And it is north of Lafayette, maybe about 12 miles or so. Where are you at, Eric?
Well, I'm way down south. So if Lafayette's the kind of epicenter, the hub, Roddy's a few miles north of that in a valley up there. Everything's pretty flat. And I'm in Vermilion Parish in a little town called Abbeville, Louisiana, which is an old French town near the Gulf of Mexico. So I'm about... I don't know, about 12 miles from the marshes of Vermilion Bay. And I guess between the two of us, we're equidistant from Lafayette. I'm south about 18 miles, and Roddy's north about 18 miles. But we were both born and raised in Lafayette, but as we've gotten older, we've settled to these little rural communities that have provided lots of inspiration. In fact, the title track of the record called Gulfstream was inspired by a family from here who owns an oyster bar and just about the community we have in a small town like Abbeville. I draw lots of my inspiration from sense of place, and I know Roddy does as well. It's a unique place in the world, this whole area.
And we're going to play Gulfstream a little later. And absolutely, it is a unique place in the world. I've been there myself, and there is nothing like it in the United States particularly, but worldwide. I've got a number of people who want to know if you've had if you were impacted by hurricanes recently.
Well, thanks for the concern. You know, we always keep our eyes out for hurricanes. The bad ones are horrible, and the little ones are interesting and sometimes provide us an opportunity to get together with friends and have a hurricane party. But ever since Hurricane Katrina and Rita, we take it very seriously now. They can be very deadly. Recently, we were impacted by some very, very bad flooding that was very tropical, but it wasn't a hurricane per se, but it acted like one. It dumped a bunch of rain and it was slow moving, and it was just stunning. It was a 1,000-year flood that happened here in the Acadiana region, Lafayette area, and thousands of people's homes were full of water. Luckily, Roddy and I got by unscathed, so thanks for your concern. But that was this month, and it was really something to see. Submerged cars and people with 4 feet of water in their houses. It was unreal. We live in the near the bayous in the lowlands of Louisiana, and weather can definitely be a concern.
Wow. Randy in San Francisco wants to know if you're planning on a West Coast tour with a stop in San Francisco for the album.
Well, we're working on some things on the West Coast right now. We hope to be that way. Don't want to count our blessings yet, but if we can conjure up a nomination, hopefully, for this record with the Grammys, we don't want to jinx it, but if we do get out there in February, hopefully we'll string some shows together. We did just get back from Portland, so we were a little north of y'all, but we love it out there. And as soon as we can get out there, we will. But it's in the works.
Speaking of reasons to come out to the West Coast, do you guys plan to come to NAMM?
I've never been to NAMM. Roddy, have you ever been out there for NAMM?
I have not been to NAMM, no.
Okay.
We don't get out much here in Creole country.
For our listeners, NAMM is the National Association of Music Merchandisers, and it's the largest convention of musicians and people who make musical instruments in the world. It's I always go, and I actually broadcast live from there. 90,000 people a day show up at NAMM. It's quite a deal. It's in the Anaheim Convention
Center. We know it's
incredible. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. If I recall, last year there was part of a floor dedicated to nothing but accordions.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't tempt you.
That many accordions in the same room. I'm not sure of it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, as I said, I listened to this album half of yesterday, and the more I listened to it, it became obvious, at least to me, that this album is a lot more than just South Louisiana music. That you guys are kind of pushing boundaries, and you're also sort of pushing the genre. Am I hearing something there, or is that really true?
No, absolutely. It's for me personally, and I know I speak for Eric a lot in this. Our heroes, we didn't have to go so far to find our heroes, and most of them are, with blessings, are still around these days. Buckwheat Zydeco, Sonny Landreth, Cliff, going further back, Clifton Chenier. So it's our interpretation of our heroes and their music, and absolutely I approach songwriting and writing in the way of Clifton, or I would like to, for something to sound this way or to capture that feel. It's been a long lineage of great music that keeps getting passed on, you know, starting back in the early 20s with Amadé Ardoin and Dennis McGee with the first recordings. Before that, it was passing on music through dances, through house dances. So that's how I feel, that we're just interpreting, we're the next generation of it, maybe.
I'm sorry, but every great tree has big, deep roots, and that's where we come from. But it has big branches too that reach forward, and and we're trying to draw from those cultural, traditional inspirations, but not be bound by them. The music has to evolve, and if all the bands around here kept playing the same songs over the last century, it would die. You have to keep fertilizing and growing. So, you know, even though you might hear a song that doesn't sound like a traditional Cajun or Zydeco song on our record, it's definitely inspired by those roots, but we're trying to move things forward and be who we are and true to ourselves as writers as well.
Well, I think you've accomplished that and very well, and at least I noticed it, all right? And hopefully the many thousands of people who should be buying this album do so, they get back to you and tell you that they notice it too. Roddy, you mentioned heroes. And I understand that you got introduced to the slide guitar by one of your heroes at the Montreal Jazz Festival. Can you Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great experience and such a memory that was going to last me forever. Kind of started tinkering around with a guitar, young teenager, and I started hearing about this slide player. Well, as Eric said before, we were touring quite young, and we happened to play the Montreal Jazz Fest and you know, be in the same city. I remember hearing this guitar tone that I never really heard before, and I felt myself walking faster and faster toward the stage, and it was about sound check time of the day, and I look up on this huge stage, and as if the clouds parted, maybe, it was Sonny Landreth playing these things with a slide, a bottleneck slide, and I've really never seen that before. Like I said, just very sheltered to my own first instrument, the accordion, but this was a new world that opened up very quickly to me, and it's been such a long and fruitful and such an honor to be around him, you know, living 10 miles away from us, and he being so gracious enough to come to our shows and play in the band as well at times. And in fact, tonight we're going to play a show with Sonny, speaking of, right here in Crowley, Louisiana. So I'm just intrigued and in awe of his talent every time I'm around him.
Well, another interesting story that I'd love to hear. We only have about 6 minutes left, but there's a video of you playing with a symphony orchestra. How did that happen? Right.
I'll take this one, Roddy. Well,
yeah, man.
You know, we have a really cool conductor here in Lafayette, and he is trying to get music in the symphonic production of music more into the communities, but he also wants to support the culture that comes out of the community that we're in. And, you know, Beethoven didn't live in South Louisiana, or neither did Chopin, Debussy, or Bach. But, you know, Clifton Chenier, Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars do. So one afternoon he came up to us and met with Roddy and I and said, what I'd like to do is take a few of your songs from your recording and have them scored with a symphonic score up in New York, and then have the symphony perform it and have the people from around the area to come experience your band with a symphony orchestra behind it. And it was really the craziest thing we've ever heard of. And, you know, Roddy and I are both self-taught. We don't read music. And to see symphonic score of songs that we had written was really a special moment for us. Hats off to the conductor as well for bridging cultural music and classical music together for the community. It was a real hit.
Well, we should tell all of our listeners to go take a look at that. We've got a couple of your songs up here that I want to play. This is Creole Nightingale.
And the mind was gone. Never know if it's when place or show.
I wanted to play a little bit of that one because it really shows off that slide guitar. And then I want to play the title track for the album. This is Gulf Stream.
Dad's been shucking dozens since 42. Iron tub ice down full of Falstaff brew. Black head of son Bobby Charles cold blue. Catholic church bells toll the Louisiana blues.
The That pick that you said that was about an oyster bar and the owner of the oyster bar, and it paints such a wonderful, wonderful picture. Well, we are out of time, unfortunately, even though there's some great lines in that one, like the line, politicians, trappers, priests, and more have all strolled through these double French doors and on and on. I mean, I'd love to have another hour with you guys just to talk about your lyrics, and but unfortunately we don't. So where should people go to get the new album and all of your music?
Well, thanks for having us. And they can, of course, go to the big iTunes to download it, Amazon. It's available at all the digital distributors worldwide. Also, RoddyRomero.com, R-O-D-D-I-E, Romero, R-O-M-E-R-O.com. And we also have an official Facebook page as well. We'd love to befriend you and so you can follow what we're up to.
And I have been to that Facebook page numerous times, and it has a wonderful collection of videos on it. So I want all of our listeners after this show, which is just about over, to go take a look at that Facebook page, look at those videos, and you should also get a copy of the album and all the albums there. Well, I really have to say thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and calling in from two disparate cities and making it all work. This has been so much fun, and I want to know, I just really love your music.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Patrick. It's an honor to be on your show.
We really appreciate it.
You have been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates and the Artists Echoes Network in the UK. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get a real-time update on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com, Music Friday, and later on it'll be on iTunes too. Be here next Friday. Our guest will be Eligura La Lucha, and if we're really lucky, the legendary producer KC Porter from Hollywood. So check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll update you on our guests. That's it for now. Have a wonderful weekend, and we're going to leave you with a little bit more of the Creole Nightingale. By the Hub City All Stars, and like I said, I'm Patrick O'Heffernan.